Hello, folks. My name is David Hutari, and I'm the host of LifeAroundTheFire.com, a podcast that is devoted to spiritual growth. And it's been a couple of weeks since I've spoken. The events that have really surrounded my absence, many of you know, and some of you don't. I have 3 sons, and their names are Jacob, Aaron, and David. And they're full-grown men. They are wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people. And my youngest son, David, on July the 12th, which would have been a Monday morning, I received a phone call that no parent wants to hear. He was a 36-year-old young man, and he wasn't feeling well. And to make a long story short, the indication is that he'd had a seizure and had laid down, and while he was laying down, he passed away. And I received notification that my youngest son died at the age of 36, and the shockwave just rippled right through me, as I'm sure you can understand. And for anyone who's experienced that, my heart once again really goes out to you if you know someone. I know that you have an understanding if you've experienced it yourself. It is an experience that is unlike any other, and one that we're not really accustomed to, obviously, hearing. And so I've taken some time and have been reflecting on the life of my son and just the realities that surround both life and death. And it is one of those realities that, even though my understanding and my knowledge of my son David is his relationship with God, the foundation of his life was very intimately involved with God in a real, vibrant, living way. And so his passing, on one hand, is good. He had suffered a bit since about the age of 15. He'd been in a car accident. As a result, there was some back and neck and head problems that had troubled him. And so he had dealt with a lot of different levels of pain. Most of the time he kept it to himself. Sometimes he'd express it. All that to say that it, on one hand, was obviously, again, very, very, very difficult to hear and to accept. I'm still accepting it, and to move forward. But the moving forward has become a bit easier because of my understanding of the kingdom of God and the eternal life reality that Jesus offers us as a gift. If we believe that he truly lived and then suffered and took our place, took our sin, and paid for it on the cross. And then he died. And he was resurrected from the dead. He didn't stay dead. He's alive. And he has ascended to the right hand of God the Father. And he is ruling and reigning as king of the kingdom of God from heaven and to return to earth. And that we are part of the resurrection from the dead. And that we have eternal life with Jesus if we believe that he has taken our place and that he exchanges our life for his life. Our life of sin and death he takes from us and then transmits to us by his Spirit eternal life, a gift, powerful, to be filled with the Spirit, powerful. My youngest son knew that on earth, and now he knows that in heaven in a big way. So there's a rejoicing that can go along with that. But at the same point in time, there's a difficulty that involves knowing that I'm not going to be able to see him, hear his voice, and have some time with him like I have had. And so in reflecting on that, I've been looking at some of the Proverbs and some of the Psalms. And I want to share a couple with you as really just think straight from my heart. And I'm still staying with somewhat of the theme of addiction and abuse, even though this is a bit of a segue or a time, a little bit of a respite. There's still some elements that I want to address in it. But before I do that, I want to read from a well-known psalm that David wrote in saying in the psalm that we are created, our inmost being has been knit together in our mother's womb. And he goes, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And the reality of that really strikes us if we've seen a birth of a child. And I've seen that 3 times, and each time has been a life-changing event because of the dynamic of being fearfully and wonderfully made to see life come to life from the womb that's been knit together in the womb. Amazing. And as a sidebar, isn't it amazing that some people would abuse that? Some people, men and or women, would take a young child and sexually or physically abuse them. What? Now, I understand the depravity of human nature, but if that's you, desperately, you need some help. I know there's help. But the damage that you're doing by abusing a child is reprehensible. It is just wrong. And I invite you to consider deeply a place of allowing God to bring you to your level of repentance and change in that regard. And if you have been abused, my heart goes out to you in such a big way. And there is not only help, but there's healing. And the fact that we're fearfully and wonderfully made involves us being able to respond to the healing of God that's being offered by faith, our faith connecting to that. We are, and our children are, fearfully and wonderfully made. And that was written by David. Now, this is a proverb that's been written by his son. Amazing, right? And David trained up Solomon in the courts of the Lord, and he taught him about the majesty of God, about God's kingdom, about life in relationship with God. And Solomon goes on to say in Proverbs 22, verse 6, he said, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And in Proverbs 1, verses 8 through 9, he said, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck." The dynamic of that is potent and it's powerful. In the positive and an area of life, how we train up a child is going to impact their life. When they're young, yes, but there more than likely will be times of testing and challenges that go along with that. Anyone who's a parent knows that. Anyone who's been a young person, which that would be all of us that are listening, we know that there's perhaps been a time in our life where there has been a rebellion that has been pretty evident. But if we're trained up in a godly fashion and in an understanding of relationship with God, not just a mental ascent, like, okay, well, I say prayers when I eat and I say them before I go to bed, kind of an obligatory thing. No, I'm talking about a real relationship with God in a real way. Like we have relationships with people. We have it with God, but even perhaps deeper. And so when we train up children in that fashion, even if they stray or go in different directions, eventually there is something of a stronger calling that brings them back to a place of relationship with God. And I'm thankful for that. Very, very, very thankful for that. But also, the negative can be something that enters into a person's life. Train up a child in the way that you go. Some people have seen abuse, perhaps addiction, but abuse since they've been a kid, and it's just in them. And so they perhaps you or you know someone who's demonstrating that violently, verbally. They both hurt. They're both devastating, and they both require help and healing, specifically from God, but also on a sociological level in various aspects of rehabilitation. My encouragement is, if that is something that has happened to you, there's absolutely not only no shame in saying that it's happened or happening, but it's important to say out loud and on purpose to another person that that is happening or has happened, and that there's a need to deal with that on a spiritual level and then on a psychological, sociological level. At lifearoundthefire.com and with our email, lifearoundthefire@gmail.com, we have dedicated ourselves to being a resource that's free of charge. And we are equipped, and I might say not just equipped with these resources, but through training and background, we are equipped to help a person deal with the issues of addiction and abuse. Not only that, but that is two of the areas that we are focusing in on. I encourage you to reach out to us if that is something that's happening to you, or if you know someone who that's happening to. If there's an addiction, but specifically at this point in time, if there's an abuse, we need to put an end to this scourge in our society of abuse and addiction. But abuse, with the advent of the coronavirus, has caused people to be pent up and to lash out in a way that seems to be increasing, if not daily, weekly, in our country, in our culture alone. The good news is there's help, and it begins with reaching out and saying so. If you're an abuser or if you're a pusher, there's help. But the humbling that takes place is different than it does if you're the one who's in the place of being abused. There's help for both. But my cry isn't limited to just those who are being abused. It's to those who are abusing to stop, man. Stop it and get some help. And for those who are being abused and who are addicted, but who are being abused, there's help. There's love. There's hope. God loves you. God loves us all. But to the brokenhearted, there is a love that is so deep and so healing. I want to encourage you to reach out and reach out to us if you so choose. Now, as a closing reminder, for those of us who are parents or who are people who are involved with young people, even if they're not so much young, your kids, I don't care if they're 50 or if they're 5 or 5 months, love on them today, man. No one goes to bed thinking that that's going to be their last good night or their last goodbye or whatever it would be. You know, life is daily, and so we kind of get into the notion that it's going to happen. And then when it doesn't, or if it doesn't, sometimes it can be a real painful, startling event. My encouragement is to love on each other because it's from God. And so I'm going to close in prayer with just a heart reaching out to you and inviting you to open up to God yourself in a new way, on a new level, in a new day. So please agree with me now. Father God, first of all, I thank you for your love that you've taught me, you've taught us, you're teaching us what love really is. And that it's beyond what we have come up with on our own. Our limitations are not your limitations. You are limitless. So God, let your power and your love endue us with strength and give us hope and healing by your Spirit, that we could receive it ourselves and demonstrate it to other people, especially to those who are young, who are our children, that they would feel loved and cared for and trained up in a beautiful way, that the power of abuse and addiction would be broken in Jesus' name. I invite you to demonstrate your kingdom by your Spirit, Lord, and bring liberty and peace where there is strife and violence. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for your ways. Thank you for your good intentions, Father. And I invite you to do this by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for tuning in again. And if you have any questions, any needs that we could help out with, once again, you can reach us by email at lifearoundthefire@gmail.com. That's all one word, lowercase, lifearoundthefire@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. We love you and look forward to talking again. Bye.